From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Lexi Krupp, filling in for Mitch Wortlieb. It's Friday, January 10th, and here are today's headlines. Republican Governor Phil Scott was sworn in to his fifth term in office yesterday. In his inaugural address, Scott called on lawmakers to rein in spending and take dramatic steps to revamp education funding and housing development. Scott said voters sent a message to the legislature in November.
I know it can be hard to admit when you've gone down the wrong path and need to turn around. But we're not here to worry about egos. We're here to do what Vermonters need. And they just sent a very clear message. They think we're off course.
In November's election, Democrats lost their supermajority in both chambers and their ability to override Scott's vetoes. That means any major policy proposals will need bipartisan support to move forward. And the festivities at the Statehouse yesterday did not end with Governor Scott. Vermont officially has a new lieutenant governor, Republican John Rogers of Glover. Rogers defeated progressive Democrat incumbent David Zuckerman in November by roughly 6,000 votes. But because he didn't receive a majority of votes cast, the Vermont Constitution required lawmakers to choose a candidate by secret ballot. In a joint session yesterday, Rogers was elected on a vote of 158-18. Speaking in the Senate chamber after the vote, Rogers said he hopes to play a key role in finding bipartisan solutions to the major issues facing the state.
I believe that my election proves that Vermonters from both parties want all of us to work together. We need to hush the noise from the left and the right and govern from the middle for the benefit of all Vermonters.
Rogers says he's confident the legislature can meet the challenges of the new session as long as Republicans and Democrats remain committed to working together. A cyber attack of a school software system may have compromised the personal data of students and school staff across Vermont. The company PowerSchool told its users on Tuesday they experienced the breach in late December, VT Digger reports. PowerSchool's software manages student information like records, grades, and attendance, and it includes personal information of students and staff. 39 Vermont districts use the system, though it's unclear how many were affected. Vermont's Agency of Education is working with impacted districts as they uncover the full impact of the cyber attack. And healthcare providers in Vermont are working to build an informal network to support intuitive eating habits and health at every size. That's a movement focused on weight inclusivity and eating for well-being, not weight loss. And it's been gaining traction nationally. Nutritionist Britt Richardson of Montpelier says she's seeing attitudes about nutrition shift from one generation to the next. On Vermont Edition yesterday, she said outdated notions about nutrition can be hard for older patients to shake.
If you lived through the 1980s, when we were talking about eggs being a silent killer, oftentimes people haven't refreshed their knowledge, right? They may not have been exposed to this new information and new research. And so that is one thing I notice, that especially among folks who may be older than 45 or 50.
Meanwhile, a dietitian at the University of Vermont said her Gen Z patients often get nutritional tips from social media, which can lead to false information. Coming up, we meet the latest Vermonter to receive a prestigious Rhodes Scholarship. That's after this. The highly selective Rhodes Scholarship is a full-time, fully funded postgraduate award to study at Oxford in England. Since the prize was first handed out in 1903, 43 Rhodes Scholars have hailed from the Green Mountain State. And for the first time in nearly two decades, a Vermonter is on the list once again. Before she starts that work, Lena Ashu of Shelburne is about to graduate as Harvard's first ever animal studies major. Vermont Public's Jen Jarecki recently caught up with her to ask about the significance of becoming a Rhodes Scholar from Vermont.
So I understand you were one of just 32 students selected out of over 3,000 applicants. I mean, what did it feel like to learn you'd been chosen as a Rhodes Scholar? And what were you doing when you got the news?
So I actually was in a room with all the other finalists when the decision was made about which two of us of 14 finalists from the Boston region would be named. When I received the news of being a Rhodes Scholar, it felt like a collective victory. And I immediately, in the moment, my mind dispersed to all of the people who had supported me and who were with me in that room in spirit. And I was just so excited to imagine calling them and delivering the news and reveling in that feeling of collective joy.
Lena, what does it mean to you to represent Vermont on this international stage?
One thing that has been important to me throughout this experience, in when I have the opportunity to introduce myself as a Vermonter, is how Vermont is perceived by people I'm talking to, not only at the national level, but at the international level. And one thing that's very interesting to me and something I think about is the image that people have, or that seems to be conjured by Vermont being mentioned. I think the image of a beautiful state, a kind of mysterious state, one where many artists reside and people who are creative and innovative and forward-looking individuals, is a reputation that is important to me and one that I want to carry with me and do justice to in my work.
Well, speaking of your work, maybe we can look forward a little bit. I'm curious what you're interested to study while at Oxford.
I plan to study philosophy, and I'm interested specifically in legal philosophy. You mentioned in your very kind introduction my animal studies major. I'm interested in animal ethics and animal studies more broadly, because I've found that it provides me a lens to understanding broader philosophical dilemmas, as well broader social justice issues, such as concepts about what makes someone morally considerable or an individual or a person, and how those concepts can play a role in facilitating the mistreatment or enabling complacency or inaction in the face of suffering. So I hope to explore those questions. I'm very excited. I can't wait.
How far back does your interest in animals go? I mean, you grew up in a farming community, right?
So I grew up as a member of the 4-H and would spend my summers exhibiting dairy cows at county fairs in Vermont. And I spent about 10 years doing this. But I actually think my interest in animals extends even further back and has a variety of different origins, but one of them being growing up in a area where I was surrounded by wildlife. And I had a mom who was very attentive to and recognized the individuality of the animals that lived around us. Seeing her have a real affinity for animals and be moved by their suffering was significant to me. And then I think I had a very early interest in justice and how it comes to be that some groups of people are mistreated and their mistreatment is justified. And that led me to be interested in looking at, I think, some of the most extreme forms of suffering, and to ask how it is that we can look at these extreme forms of suffering and decide not to act.
Well, your degree at Harvard has come up a few times. You know, you're Harvard's first animal studies major, as we mentioned. I'm curious, how did this unique degree come together, and what disciplines comprise it?
So animal studies is a wide-ranging field that convenes many different disciplines, including philosophy, ethnography, religious studies, ethology, or the study of animal behavior, critical theory, economic theory. What animal studies enables me to look at is the way that animals as a group have been historically and continue to be deemed less worthy of moral concern. And this is a very important question for me to address in my broader interest in social injustice and how that occurs.
So, Lena, you've been studying in Cambridge. You've worked in California, Washington, D.C. I'm curious, where do you think you'll land?
My current plan after attending Oxford is to return to the U.S. to pursue law school.
Could you ever see yourself living in Vermont again?
Yes, I definitely feel an affinity with Vermont and could see myself returning.
That was 2025 Rhodes Scholar Lena Ashu of Shelburne, speaking with Vermont Public's Jen Jarecki. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Bob Kinzel, Nathaniel Wilson, and Michaela Lafrack. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Lexi Krupp. Talk to you later.